like, yay! Oh, discussing tattoos is always fun.
Always, as long as they're not on anybody's butt.
Mm-hmm. And if they are, it's for a reason. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, that reminds me of a fan fiction I read once where a girl wrote in her underwear, "I know you peek."
She wrote that in her underwear?
Yeah, because the guy used to peek, so that was like her little, like, "I gotcha. I know you peek."
Okay.
It was funny at the time. Anyway. It makes sense with the story.
I know you peek.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday and you're wearing your Sunday underwear. What is this story?
It was a fan fiction story. Superman had powers, and Lois was just like, "I'm gonna play a little prank at him." Mm-hmm. So there you go. Before I was reading Gabriel's Inferno, I used to read other stuff. Okay. So going back to our chapter with Gabriel, so Aaron tells Gabriel that, you know, he knows that Gabriel is wrong because he has a hey, Richard, you know, just like, you have a deck the horse in Baza High. Yeah, la 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 la.
He's a tripod.
Oh man. You know, that reminded me of Paul's nickname for Gabriel, which he only used it once, but it made a memorable it made an impression on me. Remember he called Gabriel Dickerson?
Oh, Dickerson?
Yeah, well, he called him Dickerson.
Oh.
So this is close, Aaron. You're close to Paul's nickname. But of course Aaron doesn't want to get in trouble, so he tells Gabriel, and I quote, right? Which this made me laugh a lot. So he tells him, statistically speaking, 80% of fights are the guy's fault. Just apologize and get it over with. I don't want to have to sit through another meal like that. It's so cold in here. I'm going to have to go outside to warm up. So, 80%. Really? You don't say, Aaron.
Oh, my.
He probably Googled this one day after he was mad with Rachel. And she's like, this is all your fault.
Called him a dick person.
So, 80%. What do you think, Morgan? He's gonna go like, "Yes, dear." Oh, we should ask Jennifer, like, "Jen, is it true 80%? So I should write this down, just like whenever it's like, you see, 80, the boss knows everything. He wouldn't just write 80 for nothing. So there you go, women are smart, men need to learn that.
And you need to learn.
Yes, learn that and everything will be fine. Mm. Medusa will not show up tonight.
80% of what?
80%, according to Aaron, says 80% of fights are the guy's fault.
That's right. I think they're 20%. He's 20% off on that.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100. But we'll forgive you, boss. We'll forgive you. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. So, interesting. 80% of the times it's the guy's fault. The fights.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's too easy.
You know. But apparently Gabriel wasn't given the statistics and all of the information of what makes a good marriage. Or maybe he just didn't read the pamphlet. He's like, "I got this. I don't need to read that.
I know what I'm doing." Mm-hmm. That's all right. Mm-hmm.
I can arouse her. That's all I need to know. I'm Gabriel.
So. And he can be aroused, and that's all. All's right with the world.
Right. So, anyway. So, Papa Richard tells Gabriel that, yeah, he has to side with Aaron. Now that you're asking.
Smart man.
Yes, he is. See, this is what we like. Richard! Papa Richard! Oh my God, did I ever tell you? We love you, Papa Richard. You're going to be like our everyone's adopted dad. Like, we all love him. Oh, Morgan says, it's the kid's fault. well, they don't have children yet, Morgan. It's just Gabriel and Julia.
And they don't have a dog. They can't blame it on the dog either.
Yes. Oh, that reminds me. Remember when Gabriel was thinking about adopting a pet?
The ferret?
Yes, the ferret. So can you imagine, like, even the ferret's like, I'm not going to you, Dad. I'm going with Mom. Sure. And then he goes away with Julia to her office.
And stays with her and cuddles up with her in the middle of the night.
So there you go. Loyalty.
If ferrets cuddle, I don't know. I'm not big on rodents in my house. I had one once, a hamster. Hampton the hamster.
Okay. And it wasn't good. Not a good experience?
Considering I also had a cat.
Oh.
The hamster got out of the cage one night. And I woke up and my son's bedroom was across from ours. And I walked into my living room and I have this like very pale gray carpeting.
Uh-oh.
And it was just twilight. And I saw a dark lump on the floor. And then I saw the cat by the lump.
It's like, I was getting a midnight snack. What happened?
And, you know, which means that the cat had to come across the hallway, through the kitchen to get into the living room. And, which just for a little hamster, that was that's a big outing.
Right.
And the cat would look at it, the hamster would start walking to the cat, and the cat would run away.
Right.
She was a good kitty. So, scared to death of a hamster, though.
The gangster, that was like a gangster hamster.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that was interesting.
You know, some mornings, like Sunday or Saturday mornings, Patrick would come in our room and jump in our bed, and we'd all have, like, a little, we called it cozy time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have the cat. And the hamster.
Aww.
Everybody was there.
Everyone was welcome there.
That's
funny. See, maybe Gabriel will. Maybe, well, I don't know. Right now, that picture he had in his head about Julia and the baby and the cozy time is not looking very promising now.
Not looking good at the moment.
No. Like, kiss a dream goodbye, Gabriel, because it's not happening. At least not right now.
Richard and Gabriel have to sit down and talk.
Yes, they do. So, Gabriel tries to explain what happened, right? He has to tell his bros, Papa Richard and Aaron, what really happened. How is it that he's innocent and Julia is guilty? And so, he tells Aaron, I tried talking to her. That's how the whole argument started. She locked herself in the bathroom and told me to get lost. And so Aaron and Richard know better. They're like, ooh, you're in trouble.
Yeah, do you have the pillows or does she have the pillows?
Right? Are you sure you're going to have a room tonight? So, yeah.
Hotel 6 down the street has one.
Right? Oh my God. I don't know if that's going to be like up to Gabriel's standards.
No, I don't think it would.
Oh my God. So, yeah, Aaron tells him, you better talk to her before bed or you're looking at couch time. They know. They know.
Been there, done that, with the postcard, I'm sure.
Right. And they learn really quickly. Like, nope. You gotta go right now. Apologize. Listen to us. We know.
Yeah, we know you're the big shot professor, the gate, you know, the Dante specialist, but we know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, Richard. Richard really is so, how should I say, subtle about his message. He asks Gabriel, "Eu tu brute?" Look, I made it fancy so you understand.
I did. He did speak the language there. "Et tu brute?"
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of Latin in there.
Yes. Yeah, so listen, Gabriel, this is for you. And this is one of my favorite quotes. And I also have to say that the boss did say that he doesn't have a favorite quote for this chapter. But he says, "I think Richard contributes some words of wisdom." Winky.
Yes, he does. Winky.
he said the winky, too. So it's like, okay. The boss knows.
Yes, he does.
He's been married, he's been there, so he knows. This is a reason why guys need to read this book. Like, even...
Oh, I've already told my son to send that. Mm-hmm. I've already made him read it.
See, I'm trying to get guys to read it, but they're like, "No, this is, like, for women." Like, oh, God. Never mind, you're just... "Eu tu brute." So Richard says... "There's a reason why old married couples tell the young ones not to let the sun go down on their anger. Dealing with problems when they're small will make both of your lives easier." Ooh.
Yep, never go to bed angry.
Interesting. And then Gabriel, again, tries to wash his hands. He's the victim. He tells Richard, "I can't." He tells Richard, "I can't exactly have a conversation through a locked door." Obviously, Gabriel, you have not watched Smallville, because there was a beautiful romantic scene with a door, and it worked. So you need to watch that, Mister. And Richard says, "Of course you can. You wooed her once, woo her again." Which is true. Gabriel, medicine tastes a lot better when you put sugar in the spoon.
And I know that song by heart because I listen to it every day when my granddaughter's here at least 5 times.
Mary Poppins.
And I've got the soundtrack on iTunes.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
I'm driving to New York or driving from New York. Mm-hmm. I listen to Mary Poppins at least 3 or 4 times.
See, maybe that should be his, not punishment, but just like a little recess, or maybe like, maybe we need to lock Gabriel in a room with Mary Poppins singing, "A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down."
Oh, I think I would drive him nuts.
Yeah, well, until he gets the lesson. What are we trying to tell you, Gabriel?
You know, one of the things that my aunt always told me, you know, that you've got to, even no matter how long you've been married, you've got to make things interesting, and as they do, and that, you know, the flirting and everything is all part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard's true. Right, he's got a wooer.
True, very true.
On a wooer.
Mm-hmm. You know, on your knees, Gabriel, just cry. Oh, man. So, again, Gabriel's not really up to wooing his wife. He doesn't see the point of doing that. But Richard scolds him. And he tells him, "I'm telling you to let go of your ego, apologize, and then listen to her." Yeah, Gabriel. What part of being married do you not understand, mister?
That's right. What part of listen don't you understand? Mm-hmm.
Because if I remember correctly, well, I mean, we didn't get to hear his vows, which reminds me, I need to ask the boss, like, what exactly were the vows? Did he read them? Did he write them his own? Did he write his own vows? Did he copy-paste Dante? Maybe, I don't know. But
I think he probably, I think he wrote them and memorized them.
You think? And ended up quoting Dante a few lines?
Yeah, I think he would do that.
Okay. But again,
Gabriel's Gabriel. That's what he's, you know. He's going to be as romantic as the poet that he loves.
Well, that's true, but I guess maybe he forgot to write down, "I will listen to you, Beatrice."
Oh, that I'm sure he did not write.
He omitted that part.
I don't think any married couple actually does that. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that, you know, you talk about with friends and family and in conversation and then sometimes with a priest or, you know, mm-hmm. marriage counseling, where communication and listening are a big part of what they tell you. But when you first go into it, you don't. What, me? I listen to everybody. Every word he says.
Right.
She says.
Oh, I believe you. I was with someone. There was like an argument with a couple, and I was there. Awkward. And then they call me, and they're trying to tell me the side of the story, and it's like, I was there. But they omit what they said, so it's like, and then he said this, and I was so nice to him, and then he says this and that, and then the other person calls me and is like, and she said this and that, and I was really, really patient, like, oh my God, when do I tell them I heard you guys, both of you, and you both said that. You forgot to say this, but you said that. And you said that, uh-huh. even though you didn't say you said that. So, yeah. I felt like a therapist. Good. Like, okay, yeah, here
good,
we go.
Good way to lose a friend, too.
Right. It's like, now I don't trust either of you guys because you lie. So, changing the story here. Uh-huh. So, yeah, Gabriel. So Gabriel tells Richard that Richard and Grace had a perfect marriage. It was beautiful. And Richard tells Gabriel that, well, their marriage was not perfect, and they try to keep their imperfections away from them, the children, because children get anxious when they see their parents argue.
Mm-hmm. And I like this line, and it's so true. In my experience, couples fight over money, sex, and a lack of respect or attention.
Yes.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my God, really. We need, like, Richard to do, like, therapy for couples therapy, or his own show, like Dr. Oz and Professor, or Dr. Richard.
Marriage preparation classes?
Yes. Well, I mean, just anything.
Yes.
Richard is very wise.
He is. Like, I love Richard.
On PBS.
Yes.
You know, it will work. We need someone with wise words, wisdom, and a steady head.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Richard has age to him, too, which is always a great trainer for experience.
Yes, it is. Aw. See, this is why we need more time with Richard, boss.
Richard needs his own story.
Well, that too. Paul needs his own story. Richard needs his own story.
Aaron and Rachel need their own story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to hear how Richard and Grace first met and got together.
We don't know much about them. Just that he fell in love with her right away, and he sold his car. Bought her the beautiful diamond earrings Julia is wearing right now. If she's still wearing them. I mean, if I were her, like, remove the earrings. Remove the necklace.
And
even the ring.
Don't be like me. My husband gave me diamond earrings 1 year for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I never took them out. Never took them out of my ears. Aww. And I guess like about 4 years later, I saw a pair of earrings I liked and I bought them. And I'm like, let me try them on. So I took the earrings off the container, you know, the little package that earrings come on, and I put the new earrings in, and I put the earrings into the package, so I wouldn't lose them. And I put them on my nightstand, and somebody, don't know who, Mr. Langworthy, had a newspaper on my nightstand as well, and was picking everything up and streaming them. And he was doing it and picked up the newspaper and unbeknownst to him picked up my earrings and they all went in the trash.
Aww. That sucks.
I never had the heart to tell him. Never had the heart to tell him.
So what happened to the earrings? Oh, for a special occasion.
They went, don't worry.
You didn't, like, replace them, like, anything?
No, I didn't. And to be honest with you, I never really thought about replacing them, only because I don't think I could get the right earrings. I mean, they weren't large diamonds or anything like that.
Right.
I mean,
the sentimental value.
The sentimental part of it.
Right.
And I was like, I just couldn't tell him. Just couldn't tell him. One of those things. It's like he was a bartender when we first got married, and he was working at a bar one night, and there was a fight that started in the bar, and for whatever reason, he lost his wedding band.
Mm.
He actually did replace his wedding band, and even had the inscription put in that we had put in.
Oh.
So, yeah. But I couldn't tell him about the earrings.
Oh, I lost an earring a few days ago. It was raining and an umbrella. And then when I looked down, I was like, no. Uh-huh. I couldn't find it. I was like, darn. So.
Yeah.
Hate that. So maybe Paul will find it.
Maybe.
Instead of Cinderella in a glass slipper, like, you found my earring, Paul.
That's right. Maybe he will. And he'll return it to you.
Or maybe not. Someone else will keep it. Like, ooh, earring. Well,
it
anyway.
It depends upon where you lost it, though. If it was on the D train.
No, it was on the street. It was raining. It was bad. So, anyway. I guess I'm going to, like, a perfect excuse to get a replacement. Like, I need new earrings. Fancier earrings.
My cat just came down the stairs.
Oh, okay.
With a toy in her mouth. Like, this is the kitten.
Aww.
The little one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this little fox that was Walter's toy.
Aww. The boss is in the room.
She's carrying it in her mouth, and it's as long as she is. And she came down the stairs with it.
Aww. So even your little cat loves the boss, like the fox.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Matilda loves the fox.
Like, oh, there's a boss. Hi-o. No, just kidding. Okay.
Could be. There's one there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going back to the story. So Gabriel tells Julia. Oh, okay. Richard tells Gabriel that he's not asking what the big disagreement was about. It's their marriage. And they have to deal with it. But he did notice that Julia is hurt, and she is very withdrawn right now, and kind of like when she had just broken up with Simon.
Uh-huh.
So obviously, hint, hint, Gabriel, you need to apologize because you hurt her feelings.
Uh-huh.
And so Gabriel says that he's not the one who shut down rational communication. He sounds like a professor right now.
Yeah, he does. And rational, he's not being rational at all about any of this.
Right. And so Richard says, listen to yourself. And I love this. He says, Julia isn't irrational. She's hurt. When someone hurts you, it's irrational to withdraw, especially considering her history. So, ooh, Gabriel, your daddy gave you a lesson right there. Bow.
That's it.
Naughty, right, naughty, right? This is really, like, this is not something to take lightly. You hurt her. So, oh, and we have your favorite quote, Pam.
Yes, we do.
You want to read it?
I will.
Okay, go for it.
Learning how to argue with a spouse is an art, not a science. It took your mother and me a long time to figure it out. But once we did, we rarely argued. And when we did, it wasn't ugly or hurtful. If you can argue with Julia while still convincing her that you love her and that she's important to you, your conflicts will be much easier to manage. So Richard finished his wine, placed the glass on the table,
This will be the aha moment Oprah is talking about.
That's right. Yeah, and that's important. I mean, I can remember when I first got married, this one girl, Lynn, my friend Lynn, came up to us at our reception. And Lynn liked to pretend, she was a witch, but she liked to pretend she was a witch. And she always said that you got to keep the communication open. If you can't listen to each other, then your marriage will never work. So, Jim and I took that to heart, thank God.
Yes. And it's really sad, you know, because when people get married, they have all these hopes that things will work out, and sometimes, you know, with the daily routine, you tend to forget.
You forget things, and you forget what they're doing and you're doing, and, you know, it does. I mean, there were times, you know, any marriage, and I don't care if you're married 5 years or 50 years, there are going to be spots in your marriage where you're just sort of like passing ships in the night. And, you know, it's how you come back together with each other. I mean, especially once you have the kids in the house, it does that. And when, you know, if you can find yourself and find each other again, then it makes it all that much better. It's like falling in love all over again with your spouse.
Right.
So, you know, and that's something he's got to learn too.
Right. And also
eventually,
And also not to take each other for granted.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, right now, Richard is giving them, well, Richard is talking to Gabriel, but his experience, what his marriage was like, what he learned. But, you know, it's kind of sad because he's giving all of this advice, but we know that once the dinner is over and everything, Richard is alone. And I'm sure he would give anything to be able to speak to Grace and hold her hand and just do, you know, what normal couples do. And just seeing them, you know, Gabriel and Julia fighting maybe reminds him a bit of what it was like in the early years for him and Grace. And also, you know, it reminds him that he needs to remind Gabriel that life is short.
Well, the other thing, too, is Gabriel and Julia haven't really been married that long.
Well, they haven't been together either that long.
No, but, you know, and so there's a huge learning experience.
Right.
And if you can learn those lessons, which he's being taught one right now, whether he likes it or not, but if you can learn those lessons, then, you know, your marriage will be fine. And you ignore them, that's where the pillows, the good pillows, go off the bed and go onto a couch somewhere.
Oh, the good pillows. I bet you gave us like, damn it, we need more pillows. Like, no.
I mean, a lot of men complain about the number of pillows women put on beds anyway, but that's another story.
Right. But if you don't want to sleep on the couch, no, we don't. You need to learn how to compromise, mister.
That's right.
So there you go. Anyway, so this is my favorite quote as well, and it's from Richard. And he tells Gabriel, "When a woman withdraws and it's cold, it's because she's protecting herself. My advice is to be gentle with your wife and coax her out of that locked room. Or prepare to spend a lot of lonely nights on the couch." Which I thought, like, oh, boss, you know about that? The girl code, if we don't talk to you, we're angry.
It's girl code.
Because most guys are oblivious to that.
Yeah, it's like, you know what's wrong? Nothing. Why is it like that? I don't know. What did I do? Nothing.
Right. So, you know.
I loved all those one-word answers.
Yes, no.
Exactly.
Right. So, again, hint, man, hint, if you're a lovely lady, or your mom, or your sister, or co-worker, someone is being distant, it's for a reason, dude. Apologize. I don't care if you don't know what you did. Apologize.
And don't go up to them and go, "You have to talk to me. Come on, you really, really, you have to talk to me." That will undo it, too.
you're gonna end up, you know, with a shoe in your hand on the back of your head.
Yeah, and not with the pillowcase over it.
No. So yeah, and oh my God, you know, this is really, I don't think Aaron has to worry about getting a lesson from Papa Richard because he seems to know everything.
I think because he and Rachel have been together for so long, mm-hmm. he probably learned in the beginning the hard way.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, poor. I feel bad for Gabriel, but I also feel like you need to learn. You're not the professor. I mean, she calls him the professor, but that's only for sexy time, but not for reals. Like, you're my professor. Well, you're going to tell me what to do all the time.
It's not just for sexy time.
She gets mad, too.
She calls him professor.
Right.
Yes, Professor Emerson.
Mm-hmm. I liked Mr. Bossy. Like, I'm from Planet Bossiness, and I will tell you what to do. So there you go, Gabriel. You need to learn. So that was a lot of interesting lessons.
Yes, mm-hmm. a lot of lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Lessons in communication.
Yes, and how women think. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we pretend to be tough, but we're not. We're softies. We have a heart.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
I think most of the time.
Mm-hmm. So it's after midnight, and Julia is now finally closing her laptop. It's late. Everyone else has gone to sleep, except for her. So she didn't spend time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
She worked on her paper and just got angrier and angrier as the night went on, probably.
Mm-hmm. True. She wasn't listening to Beyonce. Kidding. With the band.
Well, Lemonade?
Yeah. Oh, you know, like Gabriel's Piñata.
Uh-huh.
I probably would have done that, but not Julia. She's classy. She just worked on her paper.
Right.
So, okay, so it's late, and Julia's trying to creep a little, you know, check what's going on. All the lights are off, except for the bedroom, the master bedroom where her ex-husband, Gabriel, is sleeping. Or maybe he's not. I mean, right now, he's just the ex.
Yeah, and then...
Ex-lover, ex-friend.
Ex-everything.
Yes.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm. So, she's thinking about maybe going to him. My advice? No, Julia, no. You did nothing wrong. Why are you going to crawl to him?
Well, yeah, she misses him, too. I mean,
When I'm angry, it's like, don't touch me. Don't even breathe my air.
Yeah. Wait a minute, you're on the wrong side of the bed.
Right?
That's my side, but...
Well, he's
no,
sleeping, kick him like, spot. Oops. I couldn't tell, I was sleeping. So, yeah. Anyway, but not Julia. She wants to go back to her. Maybe she's hearing in her mind, Dean Martin, return to me. Yes, Paul. I mean, yes, Gabriel.
Maybe. Sure wasn't locked around,
right. Oh, Gabriel's gonna get mad. It's Gabriel, not Paul. Yeah, sorry about that. It's not my fault. Paul's missing. I go nuts.
I know. He's not around, and we need him to come back.
I know. You know.
The
other day, I was walking down the street. I look up at the street sign, and the name was Paul Ding. I thought, oh my God. He's everywhere. So, yeah.
Lord.
There are signs everywhere. So, anyway, idea for book 4, boss. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Paul stops by Polding Avenue and ta-da! Her blessedness appears.
You never know. That's right.
Yes. Okay.
Off corner of Pauling Street.
Right? Instead of meet me at St. Louis, meet me at, Polding. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yes, Julia, going back to Julia. So, she goes, actually grabs her bubble bath. Oh, my. that she grabbed, but not the pillows. She takes a bubble bath and takes.
She hasn't learned yet.
Right? Oh, man. So she takes a bubble bath and she goes away to the guest room, takes a hot bath, comes out, and it's an hour, half an hour later, goes back into the study. What? And shuts the door behind her. So, okay, Julia, I guess you didn't kick him out of your room, but fine. Anyway, so she's laying on the blanket, on the couch, with the blanket that they used back in yesteryear. The first time when they were at the orchard. And she's thinking back about their marriage, the first 6 months, and how happy they were at Cambridge. Everything was so much better there. And then she thinks that she really, really wants to be a Dante specialist. And it's going to be a long road. It's going to require a lot of work, sacrifice. And she has to be humble. She knows that. She has to grow. And she's going to have to take criticism. But it's just the way that he said it. Well, it hurts. And she needs him to encourage her, not to tear her down. Why can't he see this? So poor Julia.
Yes.
She really is sad about that.
She's suffering. Mm-hmm. She is suffering.
And it's not like she's asking him to agree, because he didn't have to agree. Just like, do you think I'm giving enough information that my paper is still strong?
You know, and, mm-hmm. and it's, all she's looking for is advice. She's not asking
yes.
for criticism.
Mm-hmm. That's true. He did say he was going to give her advice and all of this. Well, he sugarcoated before he read it.
That's right.
So, there you go. And I mean, honestly, the fact that they're married and he's a Dante professor, she admires him for that. Uh-huh. And that's the reason she's so crushed, that he doesn't believe in her.
And that's very hard. That's very painful for her. Mm-hmm. Very painful. Not to be believed by the one person that you admire for something that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come back to you and they start giving you a harder time about it, like the way he did.
Right.
That's extremely painful.
He's the reason why she even started reading Dante in the first place.
That's right.
So, that was sad. Damn it, Gabriel. Go.
What is that, man?
On your knees, crawling. Ask for forgiveness. So, anyway, so Julia thinks that Gabriel spent most of the evening smoking cigars on the porch, having a great time with his family, and she wonders what he, Gabriel, told Rachel. Maybe that she's still working on her paper, don't worry about it. She's fine. She doesn't know. But she is wondering why she's in the dark, alone, close to tears, without her husband. So, aw, poor Julia. And this is why you need the good pillows.
That's right.
They will help you, you know, mute the crying, the tears.
That's right.
The heartbreak.
They soak up the tears.
Yes. Which I wonder, does Julia have handkerchiefs? This would be a good time to, like, take them out.
She's met William.
I know Gabriel has them. Oh, wait. She doesn't need her own She doesn't need hankies from Gabriel. She still has the French-Canadian neighbor's hanky.
That's right, she does.
So, there you go. Even more special than ghost hankies.
Uh-huh.
So, uh-huh. So here we go with our tears. Crying beautifully. So then Julia, all of a sudden, hears a door opening down the hall. Who could it be?
Maybe.
And she hears Gabriel's quick steps. What? Wait, she can tell when it's Gabriel?
Yeah, you can kind of tell when, you know.
It's Chloe. No. I can tell your future. Anyway, so yeah, she can tell it's Gabriel. Oh my God, he's on his way. She holds her breath. The light in the hallway. Ooh, drama. She wonders and prays. Oh, God's a fighting newlyweds. Please make him knock on my door. But unfortunately for her, he doesn't open the door. He goes back into his room. And that's it. Julia is there.
That's it.
Alone.
Now she's crying. Now mm-hmm. she's getting ready to cry.
And then
but at least he mm-hmm. came down and thought about it.
Right.
Not that he did anything about it, but at least he got to
try. Right. Meanwhile, Twitchy's like, what the? Are you serious? Man up, man. We're alone. With crappy pillows. So, I mean, I don't know if I would feel comfortable having sex with the in-laws in next door. So maybe it's for the best. Especially because Gabriel can be very thorough and Julie can be loud. So maybe it's for the best.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe they could have just snuck out into their orchard and no one would have heard anything. But alas, Gabriel screwed up big time, so no sex.
Yeah, that's something all newlyweds go through as well, and something that they deal with.
Yes. So, aw, poor Julia. It's a really, really difficult time for her.
Yeah, it is.
For Gabriel. So here's hoping things will get better.
And I don't think either one of them will have a good night's sleep.
Yes. So, oh well. So that concludes tonight's chapter. Yay! We finally finished chapter 3. It only took us like a few months.
Hey, you know what happens.
Mm-hmm. Life happens. And I think Gabriel was just trying to avoid the big fight.
I think so too.
Yes,
it's hard to you don't want to go to those fights unless you have to.
Yes, well, you know, da da da. But we will be back. We're taking a little break. What? Yeah, we just came back and we're taking a break again. We're taking a break next week because it's Father's Day. So in case you don't know what to give your dad, well, the man in the black suit, the man in the black suit, 189. Your dad doesn't need to know.
The Gabriel series would be wonderful to read, too.
Yes, the man in black suit and then the Gabriel series. And you know what? You're at it. The Florentine series. Yeah, vampires. Absolutely. Vampires and swords. Oh, my. So there you go. And if you feel
and redheaded bitches.
Yes, and if you want more, like more than just books, then get your dad or special gentleman in your life hankies. Hankies are always a plus.
Always welcome.
Yes, just make sure they're clean hankies.
Very clean, and you know, silk for the pocket square and cotton mm-hmm. for the.
It's your curriculum for the pelvic affiliates. Yeah, or just, you know, for just, like, drying tears. Fine. Yes. All right,
it's nice, but it doesn't dry the tears too well.
Oh, man, you know, it's funny because sometimes I'm, like, allergies and all of that, and everyone's like, tissue? Like, no, I have my own hanky. And I pull it out. And have
my... Listen, my mother was big on holidays. She had a little gift for every holiday that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And Groundhog's Day, my sister and I, well, we got clean, brand new hankies.
Yes.
Because that's when people get the colds.
Mm-hmm. And who doesn't love hankies?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And for women, if they're floral, they can always be put in such a way that it can look like a little corsage. My grandmother used.
Oh, that's true. See, I can't find them for women, so I just keep buying the men's hankies. So I'm like, they're good.
They even make them for women anymore. And men's hankies aren't that easy to find anymore either.
Yeah, well, I found them at Burlington. I was like, thank you. And then Burlington reminds me of Paul. Vermont. There's signs everywhere. Paul needs a book, boss.
Mm-hmm. With Betty in it.
Yes. Hopefully, Betty will be more than just a friend.
That's true.
Yes. So, anyway. So, all right. So, again, thank you, Pam, for joining us. This was so much fun. I really, really enjoyed talking with you. And, again, don't forget, the Men in a Black Suit fan podcast is back on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, June 20th at 5 p.m. Right?
Listen, is it the 20th? Mm-hmm. Today's the 10th.
So yes. Wait. Never mind. The 13th. Sorry.
The 13th.
On the 13th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, New York Time, which we will cover chapter
14.
So there you go. It will be so
That's
much
chapter 14 that we've been doing.
It's like chapter 3. We were stuck in there for a while, but we're going to get there. Chapter 14.
Right.
With Pam and Leslie. So again, don't forget the next podcast will be, I don't think I said it. The next podcast is going to be on Sunday, June 24th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, New York Time. We're going to go over chapter 4. Ooh. And don't forget to subscribe to the boss's fan page, the newsletter. Good news is coming.
Check out the blog for all kinds of information.
Yes. And SR's Box Den.
Yes. That's a good one, too, to join in on. Mm-hmm. And on his Facebook page.
Yes. So, okay, that concludes tonight's special show. We hope we can see each other again during the week. Don't forget to share your favorite quotes with us. Again, thank you, Pam, and thank you to all the lovely ladies and everyone listening to us. Even if it's a recorded version, we hope you had fun, and we hope to see you soon. Have a lovely week. See you around.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye, everyone.
Okay. Have a good night. Bye.
On days like this, oh, can you hear my heart?